1 year ago, Chicago Public Schools set about overhauling the program that helps some of its most vulnerable students, those in special education. Today, in the first of a three-part series, WBEZ Sarah Karp shares the story of one mother's fight in the midst of these big changes.
Julie Rodriguez and her son moved last year from a suburb to a three-flat on a quiet street on the southwest side. It's a week into the school year when I meet up with them. A year has passed, but she's still shell-shocked about what happened in his new Chicago public school last September.
And it was just terrible, terrible. Like, the security guards were calling me every day. They have a police officer on staff. That person was calling me, the teachers, the principals.
Her son is autistic, has attention deficit disorder, and has developmental delays. She knew her son needed an aide and time with a speech therapist and a social worker, and the school staff agreed. But they told her he'd have to wait to get any extra help. That's because they just received new dictates from high up, requiring everyone in the school system to complete more documentation and get layers of approval before special services are approved. CPS officials say these new rules were designed to make special education better. But one veteran special education attorney says that's not what's happening.
The overall effect is really to wear parents down in every way that they can and wear the staff down in every way that they can so that the ultimate outcome of it is giving less.
Matt Cohen has been representing parents for 30 years. Since the new rules came out, he's seen parent after parent fighting to hold on to services their children need and once had. Rodriguez is one of them. She knows her son needs extra help to stay calm and focused. He easily forgets what he's learned, and if he gets frustrated, he'll get up and leave the classroom or act out against other students. And it's not just her talking. A week-long evaluation by Lurie Children's Hospital called for him to go to a specialized school. Short of that, the hospital recommended placing an aide with him all day at school and time with various specialists.
You know, this is a hospital, one of the best hospitals, you know, we have. And they're experts at child psychiatry, and this is what they're telling me he needs.
In the past, a team of school staff could put something into a student's individual plan and then start providing the help immediately. But for almost 2 months, Rodriguez's son had to wait for the school to do its own evaluation and the teacher to document her son's every move. During that time, her son sat idle, not learning a thing.
So she did all of this paperwork for a para, and they finally gave him one, so she started helping with the behaviors.
Things immediately got better. Not perfect, but better. But getting an aide was only her first battle. Rodriguez says she spent much of the year navigating cumbersome guidelines. She says everything was a challenge, from getting all the time he was promised for things like speech therapy to getting him into summer school so he didn't backslide. I tell her CPS put the new criteria in place in part because school district leaders argue they are overspending on special education. She seems stunned.
Oh, wow. And I feel the total opposite. Like, they're just doing the minimal. That's terrible.
For this school year, she hired a lawyer to help her, Matt Cohen. It's early, but she's often tired and frustrated by what's happening with her son's education. But she keeps going, because she's convinced that with the right help, her son could do so much better. And it's not a thankless task. Her son doesn't talk much, but he sees how much she's trying, and often he'll put his arms around her and tell her he's grateful. Sarah Karp, WBEZ.
In the second part of this series, WBEZ Sarah Karp digs into CPS's overhaul of special education. She found that sweeping change meant to improve special education led to fewer services for kids, but more savings for Chicago Public Schools.
Christine Palmieri was one of the first to sound an alarm. It was September 2016. Palmieri stood up at the monthly Board of Education meeting. She told the packed room that her autistic son bolts, that he has a problem with running away. But CPS never assigned an adult to watch over him.
I send him to school with a GPS watch so that if he does get out of the school, I may be able to track him before he gets hurt.
And Palmieri was just the beginning. All that year, other parents, teachers, and advocates stood up at board meetings and recounted similar stories about disabled children no longer getting bus rides, others denied speech or occupational therapy, kids left alone without supervision or support.
What will it take? Will it take lawsuits, due processes, civil rights complaints to get your attention? I am angry, I am frustrated, and I will not...
That's another mother in February. She and others pleaded to know what was going on. Turns out, this is what was going on. School officials secretly overhauled special education in a way that restricted access to services. And then they budgeted less and spent less on special education, even while they kept insisting publicly there were no cutbacks. Here's how that played out with some crucial services. There were about 400 fewer special ed teacher and aide positions. The time children spent with nurses and psychologists and social workers dropped by about 12%. And half as many special needs students got extra school time in summer.
I mean, if you want a kid to learn, you want them to get more, not less.
Brad Esfand has been monitoring special education policy and budgets for years with the disability rights group, Access Living.
If you want them to exit special ed, you give them more. You don't try to contain it and give them less. And that's the way this system operates.
He and others had been hearing about these cutbacks in services, but they couldn't actually see them in the school district's budget. That's because last summer, seemingly out of nowhere, CPS totally changed the way special ed money was budgeted. It's now nearly impossible to track what the cash-strapped school district spends on special ed. WBEZ did records requests and analyzed several sets of data. The budget, it turns out, was slashed by about $30 million.
And I believe that this was done to mask this whole thing, to make it less transparent, to make it less viewable.
CPS says it ultimately spent about $15 million more than budgeted. But there's no question spending was reduced. The head of special education insists the changes, both to budgeting and services, were made to improve special education. The point of the overhaul, says Elizabeth Keenan, was to fix an ineffective and uneven system that was not helping enough kids.
We are here to not say we don't want kids in special ed. We want to make sure that we're creating the equitable outcomes and that students, when they're in special ed, do deserve to see academic growth.
Keenan says if children lost services last year, it was only because they didn't qualify for them. So how were those decisions made? A secret guidebook was created that effectively limited access to special education. It resulted in major roadblocks for parents and school staff trying to get help for kids. And there's more. Documents show this manual was orchestrated by auditors with deep ties to CPS CEO Forrest Claypool. These auditors were hired under multi-million dollar contracts for, quote, professional services, a term so vague no one in the public could know what they were being paid to do. These auditors have no expertise in the complicated world of special education. But Claypool justified using them anyway.
They're experts in process improvement. That is what, that is their expertise. Decades of success and at top levels of management consulting firms, and that was what was required.
Other members of his leadership team downplay the role of the auditors. They say the new rules for special education were driven by educators, and their goal was to make sure students got the right services. But parents, school staff, and advocates say they had no idea the manual was being created. They were blindsided by it, but they immediately felt its effects. At the beginning of last school year, a hotline kept ringing off the hook. It's for parents having trouble with special education. At the same time, other advocates kept hearing from parents of young disabled students. They said bus rides to specialized preschools were eliminated.
And we didn't know if this was just word of mouth. Where was it coming from?
Amy Zimmerman runs the Chicago Medical Legal Partnership for Children. Eventually, she got a hold of an internal CPS presentation that clearly stated preschoolers should no longer get bus service.
A policy that was inappropriate and frankly illegal. And so it was this, this sort of all behind the curtain, but that has real repercussions on families.
Then they found this was just one part of that much larger manual. What they read shocked them. Zimmerman says instead of school staff agreeing on what a child needed as they had in the past,
there are multiple hoops that they have to jump through, and data collection requirements that we know are going to result in denials of free appropriate public education for children, and excessive delays that are unnecessary.
Teachers, parents, and advocates mobilized. They challenged parts of the manual they said were wrongheaded or illegal, and CPS quickly had to rewrite parts of it, issuing new protocols mid-year. Then, CPS quietly posted a revised version of the manual online this July. The advocacy group Equip for Equality helped document the dramatic drop-off in services. Now that it's public, Rachel Shapiro with the group hopes the district will reverse course.
So I think it is going to be harder for CPS to say to us, oh, well, that many students just weren't really supposed to qualify. We qualified them in earlier years, but not now, because it's such a dramatic drop.
But Shapiro and others remember how this all started. The big switch last summer to a whole new way of budgeting for special education. And this year's spending plan is still opaque. So the only thing to really go on is what CEO Forrest Claypool told the Board of Education. The district this year is boosting spending a bit for severely disabled students. But overall spending on special education should be about the same. In other words, special education students who saw big cuts in services last year shouldn't expect more this year. Sarah Karp, WBEZ.